Political Pulse Your Vote 2026 coverage is made possible in part through the generous support of AARP Maine, MEMIC, and Archipelago Law.
And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse, our analysis of government and politics. I'm joined today by Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler, who's here this week to talk about the closely watched U.S. Senate race. Steve, this contest has had so many storylines and twists and turns over the past year, but right now it seems like the focus is really on Troy Jackson, of course, the Democrat who was nominated about a month ago to take on Republican Senator Susan Collins. Jackson, as we recall, was thrust into that race after progressive firebrand Graham Platner was forced out after a string of controversies. So what has Jackson been doing to get his fledgling campaign off the ground? It just seems like we haven't seen as much of him as we did of Platner.
Yeah, I think that's right, Ari, but it's also because Jackson has been racing to assemble the under-the-hood part of the operation, you know, hiring staff, fundraising, planning events, and so forth. But it certainly has been a contrast to Platner, who was almost, you know, ubiquitous, just showing up everywhere via public events or in social media feeds. Jackson has obviously been less so, but I think part of that's just because he's just getting started and ramping up campaign activities. And that's really been the case the past couple of weeks. We've seen a lot more of him, including his first two town halls this week in Lewiston and Gorham.
Yeah, and that's interesting, right? Because town halls were such a big feature of Platner's campaign.
Absolutely. I mean, he held like 80 of them, and the events were useful to him because they were covered in the press, and it was a way to bring out and engage potential supporters and recruit volunteers in some cases. Jackson is basically trying to replicate those in some fashion, although he just doesn't have time to do as many as Platner did.
And what stood out to you at the Lewiston town hall?
A few things. I mean, it was a good crowd, more than 300 people in a venue that seats about 400. And it was friendly, which allowed Jackson to talk about his platform and criticize Senator Collins without too many challenges from the audience. In fact, just two people were critical of Jackson. One person said he thought he was too soft attacking Collins, and the other actually criticized Jackson for trying to helm the populist movement that Platner led before leaving the race.
I've seen your ads, and I noticed that you keep referring to our movement that we build. Honestly, it feels disingenuous because the movement that was building was built by someone else. You weren't nominated by the voters. Why should frustrated Mainers like me trust you as the person to take over leadership of that movement?
And how did Jackson respond to that one?
Well, it was interesting, Ari, because I think it actually played into something that Jackson has been saying since he was nominated, which is basically that the movement isn't about the person leading it, but the people behind it.
I think it's about people across this state that know there's something fundamentally wrong with the way things are going.
Of course, that exchange illustrates one of the challenges confronting Jackson's campaign, and that's just enthusiasm for his candidacy. And that's tough because the comparisons to Platner are inevitable, especially since Jackson is running on essentially the same message.
And part of that, right, is that Platner and Jackson are just really different presenters.
Fundamentally different. You know, you're not going to get a lot of histrionics and punchlines from Troy Jackson. That's just not who he is. He definitely has the working class bona fides that his predecessor didn't, but not the oratory polish. So it will be interesting to see how much that matters to voters as the campaign progresses.
And let's shift over to Senator Collins, who's seeking her sixth term this November. Collins is not holding town halls, is she?
She is not. What Collins is running is essentially the same kind of campaign that she's run since getting elected nearly three decades ago. That is a tightly managed operation that includes a lot of stops at businesses, parades, fairs, and so on. And the message that Senator Collins is really trying to hammer home is that she's a known quantity in Washington, someone whose seniority and influence delivers for Maine people. And she's doing that because that's what's won her elections over and over, including in 2020, when she fended off a well-funded Democratic campaign to unseat her. And all of that is backstopped by a Republican machine that's just pouring money into this race, and so far, vastly outspending Jackson and the Democratic group supporting him.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to escape the negative ads in this race. Seems like they're really back to back on both sides.
Yeah, totally. And for the most part, Collins is letting the super PACs backing her do the negative campaigning. That's not unusual for her or other incumbents, really. Her attacks against Jackson's have been a lot more subtle. And you saw that during this really interesting interview she did with Politico's Jonathan Martin, where she slipped in this reference to Jackson's longtime partner.
Well, I'm not going to bring up the fact that the mother of his two children is his second cousin. I don't know whether people know that or not.
I think you just mentioned it.
So you see what she did there, Ari. She's, you know, highlighting a point while claiming to ignore it. You know, I suspect the Roman philosopher Cicero would approve of that tactic.
No doubt. But I have seen this second cousin attack against Jackson a lot on social media.
Yeah, me too. And honestly, I had to look up the definition of second cousin. It's when your parents and second cousin's parents are first cousins. So basically, you have the same great grandparents, but not the same grandparents. It's a little convoluted. And that's probably the point of the attack, because most people will just pay attention to the cousins part.
Got it. Well, let's pivot to some reporting you did this week for NPR about how Collins is navigating the renewed trade war with Canada. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this will be something to watch if the trade war continues to escalate. And that's because Canada is Maine's top trading partner. You know, the vast majority of its imports and exports are conducted in Canada. And there's a lot of interconnectivity between our economy and Canada's. And that includes heritage industries like lobster and wood products. And Senator Collins is out just trying to urge the Trump administration to ease tensions and get back to the negotiating table. But so far, the Trump administration has shown little interest in doing that. So it's just something to keep an eye on, because it plays right into this affordability debate we're seeing in congressional races across the country.
And you can read all about that over at mainepublic.org and npr.org. And that concludes the Maine Political Pulse for this week. We'll be back next week with a look at a different race on the November ballot. Our music is by Rob Holt. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.